heart failure happens when the heart can't pump enough blood to send it to all the parts of the body that need it. And sometimes it has a genetic link. And sometimes it hits someone who's young. Take 30-year-old Colin Johnston. In his 20s, his heart failure meant that he would only survive if he got a heart transplant. Colin got a try at a heart transplant, but snow got in the way. Over time, snow became part of teaching him about how to take each day as it comes. From KGNU producer Shelley Schlender, here's a story about hearts, Colin and snow.
My name is Colin Johnston. My favorite song about snow is probably Winter by Tori Amos. It's a song that makes the snow in the winter feel comfortable and kind of homey. It's a song that warms you up when you're looking out in the cold.
Snow can wait, I forgot my mittens. Wipe my nose, get my new boots on. I get a little warm in my heart when I think of winter. I put my hand in my father's glove.
My name is Colin Johnston. I'm 30 years old, and I have a heart transplant. If you saw me, you wouldn't think that I have a heart transplant, but I do. I was diagnosed in 2006 with the same heart disease that killed my mom. It's called dilated cardiomyopathy. Dilated cardiomyopathy is caused by many things, and genetics is one of them. My mom was 42 when she died. I was 10. When I was 24, on Friday the 13th, I went into a family doctor, and it was either a chest cold or congestive heart failure. And running a few tests, it was clear that it was heart failure. My heart was getting bigger, but it wasn't getting bigger in a good way. It was becoming scarred and weakening. So I was admitted to the Boulder Community Hospital. After I was diagnosed, my heart started showing improvement. 4 years ago, I even did the Boulder with stage 2 heart failure. My time was 1 hour and 41 minutes. But I was proud to do that. Just 6 months after I did the Boulder, my heart started getting worse. I could feel it getting worse. Every night I would be loaded with fluid. I would not be comfortable sitting down, standing up, in a chair. One problem with the heart disease that I had is that not enough blood was able to flow through my kidneys. And so my kidneys weren't not able to remove the water from the body. It's a hard feeling to describe. Pressure in the torso from so much water. There were evenings when I could not walk very far. My dad would have to go to the pharmacy to pick up prescriptions for me. I just basically sat in a chair, dying to live to the day that I got my heart transplant. It was cold outside. It really kind of shadowed the emotions that I was going through. It was difficult watching snow being, coming down and knowing other people my age are out enjoying it, going skiing and snowboarding and stuff, that I couldn't really do any of this at the moment. It's very difficult when you're 24 to be told that you need to have a heart transplant to live.
Snow can wait, I forgot my mittens. Wipe my nose, get my new boots on. I get a little warm in my heart when I think of winter. I put my hand in my father's glove.
I was just getting worse every day. And I couldn't do anything about it. Maybe if I got too bad, I'd be stuck in the hospital and I'd go up higher on the transplant list. But that was something I didn't want to, face. But then I was implanted with a device that took over most of the work of my heart. The device that was implanted inside of me took over the work of actually pumping blood through my body from my heart. So I still had my native heart, and it did some work, but not very much. I was in the hospital the entire month of April. I went in, and it was clearly winter. Plants outside the hospital were dead. There's still snowstorms occasionally. And when I left, it was springtime. Flowers were budding. The sun was out. The weather was getting better. And this device called an LVAD basically made me almost completely better for the short term. I knew I would eventually need a heart transplant, but this device gave me the chance of being normal for a few months. In the fall of 2009, I was sleeping just like normal, and I had a phone call ring, and I could tell on the caller ID that it was the hospital. And they told me, "Colin, we think we have a heart available for you." I feel like my heart skipped a beat. My mind started getting filled up with all the things that I have to do before my transplant and about the surgery itself. Most heart transplants go very well. However, it's not 100%. Some people die when they get a heart transplant. And so I was really scared about that. After I got off the phone, I looked at my alarm clock and it said 3:30 in the morning. And about 5:30 in the morning, I was going to be down at the hospital waiting for the surgeons. It can be hard to plan your life around having to go down to a hospital in 2 hours or less to get your transplant. But this is what happens when you get the phone call. You have 2 hours. The hospital is an hour away from my home in Boulder. And so the 2 hours is not a lot of time to be able to plan and pack and get ready for the journey that you're going to go through. I don't remember the weather that day, but I do know it wasn't bad weather. When I finally arrived at the hospital, I was waiting for a room in the surgical ICU. And I got a phone call from my doctor telling me that the potential donor had HIV. I was devastated. I had waited literally years to get my transplant, and this time slipped through.
Snow can wait, I forgot my mittens. Wipe my nose, get my new boots on. I get a little warm in my heart when I think of winter. I put my hand in my father's glove.
So I drove home and I just went back to my routine of spending my time waiting for a heart, doing what living I could do. Thanksgiving, my sister came and visited me. And we were blessed with a nice, fresh snowstorm. And I was able, with my LVAD, with my pump, to be able to go out and go sledding with my sister, something we've used to love doing when we were kids. I had to tape my controller and my batteries up for my pump to keep it from having contact with water. I had to wear it up around my chest. And that was a great time with my sister, going out sledding, enjoying a beautiful fall day. Just 1 month later, I got a second phone call for a heart on Christmas Eve. There was a big snowstorm. My dad drove me down to the hospital. This time, I-36 was completely iced over. Right before the Colfax exit, I got a phone call from my doctor saying, because the snowstorm was still going on in Kansas City, they could not land the plane to pick up my heart. Once again, I was disappointed that this wasn't my time for my second chance at life.
Snow can wait, I forgot my mind. wipe my nose, get my new boots on. I get a little warm in my heart when I think of winter. I put my hand in my father's glove.
At this point, I was starting to think I may never have the opportunity for a heart transplant. My health was still going good. I knew I could have made it, you know, I could have waited another year or two or three. But I wanted to get my heart transplant sooner than later, because I was ready to get on with my life, get moving with my life and enjoying things, being a normal 27-year-old again. The next call came in early February. I was so happy with the news, I did not even remember if there was snow on the ground or not. Part of me was thinking, third time's the charm. Part of me was thinking, I've been through this twice before, don't get your hopes up too much. But they got a room for me, and they started reversing some of the blood thinners that I was taking. And they started putting lines in me, and started having me sign the waivers for the anesthesiologist and for the surgery. You're scared of what's going to happen next. You're hopeful that you're going to get the surgery. I remember spending the morning of February 3rd on the phone with friends and family, praying, and also because I've been through an open heart surgery before, doing things that I knew in a few hours were going to hurt to do, like breathe, laugh, cough, any movement. My surgery kept on getting delayed on that day. Originally, it was supposed to be at around 9 or 10 in the morning. Then it ended up being around 12. I eventually got wheeled back to the operating room at 2:30 in the afternoon. I wasn't too worried about the heart not being viable for me, because the donor was brain dead but was still on life support until their organs could be used for the best good. I was told some very basic information about my donor, that they were younger than me, that it was a man, and I could tell because the hospital that he died at was close to I-25, and some of the medicines that they said that he was on, in particular blood thickeners, that I felt that maybe he had been in a car accident. It's really hard to think about that day, because for me and my family, it's the best day of my life. But for another family, it's the worst day of theirs. One of the last things I did before I got my transplant was borrow a stethoscope from one of the nurses and to hear my old heart. Normal heart's supposed to sound very tight beats, like choop, 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 choop. But my old heart sounded more like whoop, 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 whoop. The beat was very lengthened, and you could hear that my heart was not working efficiently. The chambers were not beating together, and I was ready for a new heart.
Snow can wait, I've forgotten my mittens. Wipe my nose, get my new boots on. I get a little warm in my heart when I think of winter. I put my hand in my father's glove.
So I woke up at the end of a long day, 11:30 at night, in my bed in the hospital. When you wake up from a major surgery like this, the first few hours are are really rough. The biggest problem is having the breathing tube in you. Your mouth is very dry. You're gagging. And because the way that the breathing tubes work, you have no control over your breathing, so you feel like you're suffocating. You don't really even have time to think about what just happened. You're focused on the discomfort of the breathing tube, and then the pain. They had me on extra oxygen for a few days, about 4 or 5 days. So when you first get out of the breathing tube, because it hurts to breathe, you try to make very light breaths. And it sounds kind of like... After about 3 or 4 days, my heart started taking over its work on its own. Before this, I had a temporary pacemaker that was making my heart beat. Eventually, my heart started doing its own thing. My heart was pacing itself faster than the pacemaker could. It was a fast beat, but it was a very strong beat. It almost felt like a drum mallet hitting you in the chest, but in a good way. And it sounded like doo, 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 doo. 9 weeks after my transplant, I took one of my nurses, and she and I hiked Royal Arch. It's about 3 mile round trip, about 1,300 foot elevation gain. To put things in perspective, the Sears Tower is 1,450 feet. So doing one of these hikes is like climbing 100 flights of stairs. And I did Royal Arch 9 weeks after my transplant. 9 weeks. There was still snow on the trail. It felt great, but I got my jeans all dirty because I slipped and I had to kind of do a little bit of sliding down the trail when we were going downhill. But it was a great feeling and a great day to have. Once you have a heart transplant, or any organ transplant, your health is usually a lot better. But the medicines you have to take to keep your body from destroying whatever organ you have inside make your immune system very weak. So even now, spending too much time outside in the cold is something that scares me and a lot of other heart, organ recipients. We try to really bundle up. I'm not a big winter person. I've never done skiing. I don't think I'm ever going to get into like cross-country skiing or snowshoeing, but I do love to hike. I like to ride bikes. I'm planning this next year to do my first marathon. I've had my second heart for almost 3 years. And I've been doing great ever since. The snow still affects me. Both of my two birthdays that I've had, my two heart birthdays that I've had, haven't either been able to happen or didn't really have a big turnout because it happened to be right around a snowstorm. This year, February 3rd, will be my second heart's third birthday. I really hope it's not snowing for my heart birthday so I can actually go out and really celebrate the day more. When you have an organ transplant, like a heart that I have, every day is a gift. You're scared that you may wake up tomorrow and your heart's getting worse again. You may be dead within the next month. But it feels good to have the second chance at life. Having a heart transplant makes you see the world in a different way. Makes you be more thankful about the things in life that you can't buy. You know, driving past, you know, seeing a beautiful scene or having a good time with friends, it means so much more now that I have a heart transplant.
Snow can wait, I forgot my mittens. Wipe my nose, get my new boots on. I get a little warm in my heart when I think of winter. I put my hand in my father's glove. I run off where the drifts get deeper. Sleeping Beauty trips me with a frown. I hear a voice, you must learn to stand up for yourself, 'cause I can't always be around. He says, when you gonna make up your mind? When you gonna love you as much as I do?